Here we go. Harry versus Gary, number three. You guys have heard me jumping on the Manimal Zone, the MZ Zone, with John Manimal Beneducci, Kerry Stellar, the stereo one. The stellar one. I'm a step ahead. Now we are with Harry, Mac, Daddy, again. It's been a couple weeks. Harry, how you doing? How's the bets? How's the parlays? How's life, my brother?
It has, man. Life is good. We got a move coming up this weekend, so I'm drowning in boxes and bags and the like. But shit is good. We've had some fun fights these last couple of weeks. We both been a little busy. We weren't able to get anything in, but here we are. We're back at it, back on the grind, and right back to it, huh?
This is a pretty standard episode hashtag recording in the fact that there's not much news. I mean, we could bring up Aljamain Sterling on the JRE podcast, which is pretty good. But this is kind of the typical, as they say, how you make your money in the radio business when there's not much action going on. You're in the dog days of summer. I know that the baseball at a radio station, when both teams are bad, can be really bad. This is kind of similar, but luckily with the UFC, we get always action. And there was UFC Vegas 56, Volkov, Rozenstruik at the top. A couple of fun storylines underneath, but I can't wait for us to just review this and get looking forward to this weekend, UFC 275. But yeah, man, what are your biggest takeaways from UFC Vegas 56?
Yes, sir. First of all, that's a hard sell on the podcast. I love tuning into a podcast and being told, yeah, this is about nothing. gear up, brother. We got a lot of nothing to talk about.
I mean, what did we come off of? Aljamain Sterling's went on. It was Gaethje, Oliveira. We had the weight cut, the band flag, Sean
definitely
Strickland.
Less eventful than our past few, for certain. But like you said, yeah, we had some fun fights this past weekend. There were some good takeaways. One of my big takeaways is I've seen a lot of people complaining about the Volkov Rozenstruik stoppage. I don't see that at all. I don't think that was an early stoppage in the slightest.
Yeah, it's not Herb Dean's fault that he's stopping the fight when his hands are covered and then he pops up like, oh, I'm just,
right. There's
what?
Nothing.
I had him right where I wanted him. It's like, no, it doesn't work like that.
No, there was no intelligent defense happening there. And like, yes, Herb stopped the fight. He instantly pops back up. But if Herb doesn't stop the fight there, he's just going to take loads more damage and wind up like possibly injured and on the shelf for a couple of months. You know what I mean? If you get fully knocked out, that's a 6-month medical suspension. So
damned if you do, damned if you don't with the refs.
Exactly. So I have no problem with that stoppage. And I'm the first one to complain about Herb Dean stoppages. So believe me, I'm not just being the Herb got it right guy. I think that was the right stoppage. It's good to see Volkov back in the win column for sure. You know, I'm kind of tired of heavyweight main events, even when it's like sort of intriguing up at the top there. It's just not, I don't know, man. I'm just so tired of it. I love seeing that they just booked like Gamrot and Armin Tsarukyan as a five-round fight night main
June
event.
18th
like, that's an awesome fight. That is an awesome fucking fight. Like I would give me that over like, you know, top 15, top 10 heavyweights in a main event for five rounds, especially any day of the week.
100%. 100%. And they keep reshuffling these guys. It's either Curtis Blades, Volkov, or Rozenstruik.
Right. It's just not a deep
division. Where are you?
Yeah. Hey, dude, fucking the Ream, they finally confirmed that Bader Hari, the trilogy is going down. That's going down in a couple months over in Glory there. That's going to be awesome. I am genuinely excited for that.
I'm about to be a, and again, you could throw it back at me. I'm about to be a punctuation dick. It's Bader Hari. I think you said like Master Bader Hari.
I did say Bader Hari, but yes, Bader, excuse me. I don't speak Dutch, Ike.
It's Deutsch.
Yeah. But dude, that'll be awesome. Honestly, that reminds me I would say obviously awesome UFC card this weekend. That will genuinely be a great card. But the thing that I'm looking forward to most, maybe in the month of June in combat sports, is the match, man. Tension and Takaru.
Oh, I know who Tension is, but the fact that I don't know who Takaru is.
Oh, that's you're telling on yourself there, brother. It's the fucking king of K1 and the king of Rise. But I mean, that is going to be they are basically the two
full MMA or kickboxing,
kickboxing. Oh. But they are two of the best pound for pound kickboxers on the planet. It is the biggest fight in Japanese combat sports right now that they've been trying to make for years. Unfortunately, they're having fucking issues because of Sakakibara and his goddamn Yakuza connections. They lost Dude, no, they lost the TV deal. Fuji TV was supposed to broadcast it. The broadcaster pulled out because of some story that just came out about Sakakibara being in bed with the Yakuza as fucking usual. Same shit that happened with Pride, and they lost their TV deal. So I'm praying it still happens. There was talk that like they might lose the Saitama Super Arena because Fuji TV was on the, like, they signed up for the venue. So it's a mess, as all things usually are over there. But I'm just praying that we get the fight and we get there. I need to see Takaru in tension.
I take back being the punctual police or the punctuation police, the fact that you just listed off like six Japanese arenas, fighters, like, okay.
So I can pronounce things.
How do you say hello or how you doing?
I feel like this is a trick question.
Japanese? No, I'm trying to.
Oh. I was like, you're trying to trick me, brother. I don't like this. Fuck.
You're in moving week, man. Trust anything.
No, I don't.
What do you mean it's this much?
Is it arigato or is that thank you?
It sounds like, yeah. Arigato or something. Yeah, something like that. But I don't know. I'll look it up.
We'll learn Japanese another time.
Mosar Vloev against Danny Gay. Another combat sambo guy, wrestling, dominant,
that.
Quiet dude, just climbing up the ladder and climbing up the back of Ige, man. He was kind of just playing a little fire. I think it was Odie Osborne where he did the same thing, where he just, like Khabib versus Al Yaquinta, where they feel they're so dominant on the ground that they can learn trial by fire with their stand-up. Once their opponents
I was impressed with his stand-up, though. I was very impressed by how far his stand-up has come since he's gotten into the UFC, at least. And, bro, Ige's striking is no joke. Ige's striking is no joke, and he was winning a lot of those exchanges.
I think Ige's lost now three straight. He just doesn't pull the trigger.
Yeah, I think definitely two, maybe three. But
by decision,
I've never been a big Danny Ige guy. I won't get over that Edson Barboza robbery. That was a terrible fucking decision in that fight that like fucked up both guys' careers for a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think Ige's ceiling is probably like gatekeeper of the top 10. I don't think he's ever gonna, you know, really contend for a title or really challenge. But you know, who knows? Maybe he goes back to the drawing board, comes out a lot better. But he's got dynamite in his hands, but the way Evalyev was able to time up that knee right up the middle when Ige would levels.
He ate that.
And he hit it two or three times, man, where he just timed him up. And because Ige has this tendency to kind of dip a little bit on that left hook. And when he tries to load up that overhand, he drops his head. And yeah, dude, Mobsar just fucking clipped him. And then, yeah, I think after the first big knee landed was kind of where the fight, where both guys settled into what the fight was going to be. You know what I mean? Ige was definitely timid. I think that played a role in him being scared to pull the trigger there, like in just getting timed up on your entries like that and crushed by a big knee like that. But I was really impressed with Movsar, man. I'm very interested to see who they give him next.
Yeah, I should pull up the featherweight rankings. That is an interesting matchup. I do like that he's training at American Top Team. He's not under like Team Fedor. He doesn't
have
a soccer jersey. It's very different for a Russian. Actually, maybe Jan followed Movsar in that sense, because Jan was doing some training at ATT. I wanted the backstory behind that. But man, Lucas Almeida, underdog. Your boy picked him.
Hell
if anybody watched the Dana White contenders fight, Zulberger or something, that was just a banger of a fight. And Michael Trezano, though he comes from the Tiger Showman's, I am disciplined until I'm not disciplined. He turns it into a Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner fight. Every time he steps in there, I'm sure a tiger and lion or whatever his brother's name is, that they're just pulling out their hair. Lucas Almeida, hell of a performance. That was my performance of the night.
Yeah, no, I don't think I can disagree with you there, man. That was an awesome, awesome fight. Violent fucking finish. I mean, he floored him. And yeah, I mean, to do that in your debut, and, you know, Trezano is not a world beater by any means, but game opponent, like, you know, that, as far as a debut goes, that's a good opponent. That's a good win for Almeida. I'm curious to see what his ceiling looks like, what the future is there. And the only other performance that really stuck out to me as a possible performance of the night was
Aaron Blanchfield.
That's right. Local girl, Aaron Blanchfield, baby. You know, I think we've talked about her before.
Where does she train? We were trying to figure that out on the Manimal Zone.
So she's based out of Jersey, I think, right. at that Gracie gym that Mickey Gall was at forever. In like North Jersey there. I'm blanking. Okay. I think it's just Henzo Gracie, New Jersey, whatever the fuck it's called. But yeah, I know she's out on Long Island a lot. She gets a lot of work in at like Long Island MMA. And I think she's gotten rounds in with some of the ladies at law before. But dude, the way that I view Erin Blanchfield is she is everything that Macy Barber was sold to us as. I think she is the real fucking deal, dude. I think, and especially at 125, you know, 115, you got a murderer's row there for sure. But at 125, it's kind of Valentina and everybody else. So I think we might be seeing Erin Blanchfield competing for a title like within the next 18 months.
She called out Macy Barber. Do you like that kind of?
I think that's a good call out.
Prospects facing each other. I know Macy Barber's in a different stage than Blanchfield.
For sure. Yeah, there's always arguments on, yeah, kind of matching up prospects like that earlier in their careers. And I guess the way that I see it is I don't know. Personally, I don't rate Macy very highly. I don't think she is a championship caliber fighter at the end of the day. I do think Erin can be that.
In the same category as Chase Hooper, they just get under Harry Mack's skin.
maybe a little bit. Maybe a little
I'm
bit.
Trying to figure out the exact person, the exact athlete fighter that gets under your
skin. A good way to know who gets under my skin is if you throw like 80% of your punches at the air and you scream really loudly doing it, I'm probably not gonna like watching. Yeah,
I was just gonna say Holly Holm. I remember a couple Harry versus Gary's ago. We agreed on that.
Exactly. Oh, same shit. So that's a good barometer for you. If you throw a lot of punches at the air, I probably don't like watching you fight.
Prior to Sterling, the matchup, are you a TJ Dillashaw fan? This is gonna.
So I loved TJ coming up. I was more of a Garbrandt guy. Like when it came down to the two of them. Right. Cody for me for sure. But no, man, I always liked TJ. I think TJ was good for the sport. I think his reign, I think he like had some crossover mainstream appeal for a little bit there. I think Aldo is a much more intriguing matchup for Aljo personally to me than he is at this stage in his career. But
stylistically, legend.
TJ is, well, of course, Aldo's, they're both UFC Hall of Famers, realistically, but Aldo is the greatest featherweight of all time, in my opinion. We've had this conversation, and what he's doing at bantamweight right now is incredibly impressive. The fact that he's really, at most, a fight away from the title right now, but I think that matchup is, from what we've seen in their last few, I think TJ lost the Sandhagen fight. I did not score that fight for TJ. And, you know, he's what, 38, I think, or maybe 37, 38. He's older, man.
Something like that. 30, north of 36.
Yeah, he's like 37, coming off a blown out knee. This is generally not the stage in a guy's career where you see improvements. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's fair to assume we've probably seen the best of TJ Dillashaw. And of course, you could say the same thing about Aldo. We've seen the best of Aldo too. But right now, in their current form, what Aldo has done in the past 2 years is more impressive to me than, you know, a really close fight with Sandhagen that I personally thought TJ lost.
Is this a bad matchup for Aldo if he gets paired up with Sandhagen?
That's a good question. The thing with Aldo is like he's one of those guys where he's almost matchup proof in a way. You know what I mean? Like his striking is always impeccable. That's always going to be there. The striking will always be there. And his takedown defense is so good.
With Jan, what are you feeling?
I really don't know, man. I saw
UFC trying to protect him?
I don't know. They're booking Cheeto and Dom Cruz today. Marab is the boogeyman who nobody, all these guys are calling each other out, but I haven't heard a single person call for the Marab fight. I wonder why that
Marab
is.
Marab Corey?
Cowards. I would love to see Marab Corey. I think that would be awesome. That's a fight that I think makes a lot of sense. But, you know, especially like Corey's coming off a loss. Marab wants to fight up. I think Marab is number six right now, I believe. So, maybe a little lower than Corey would like to fight, but I think that fight makes a lot of sense. I would love to see Marab. I think Marab deserves somebody. I mean, absolutely in the top five, he should be fighting above him. I think he realistically deserves somebody in the top three.
Can Aljamain Sterling, TJ Dillashaw headline Madison Square Garden in the fall?
I think so, dude. I really think so. Cause I think TJ, listen, you know, we're both Aljo guys. We both love Aljo, but I think TJ has more star power than Aljo does. Like he's just a bigger name. He's a bigger draw. So even though, you know, Aljo's coming in as the champ, like TJ would...
Dude, the press conference going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah. But TJ would be the A side of that fight. And yeah, I think TJ and a native New Yorker champion headlining at Madison Square Garden, like, I mean, that's fairy tale stuff.
Everything that Jan couldn't translate, like in terms of trash talk, TJ is just going to wear it. And of course, it's like he's going to bring up the acting thing, the knee, and it like... And likewise, on the other side of Aljamain with the steroids, like it's
right.
That's going to be wild.
Right. I also, one of my favorite recurring themes in MMA fandom is MMA fans having no clue how steroids and PEDs actually work. that's very, I mean, people are like, oh, dude, TJ, he was fucking roided up forever. It's like, dude, EPO is, you don't take EPO to like put on muscle mass. And like he popped.
Cardio, right?
Exactly. And he popped in the fight where he was cutting down to flyweight to 125. So it doesn't make any fucking sense to be like, oh, yeah, he was juiced up to the fucking gills his whole career. Even like, I'm sure he was using something or another.
I think
there was that clip of Garbrandt when he was like, yeah, when he was like, he just let slip in an interview. He was like, oh, we all know how to beat the test. Come on.
TJ showed us. And then TJ's like, you're a moron. Like, right. Looking him out of the press car. I think it was 227, but. That fight is great, man. Did you tune into the JRE with our boy Sterling?
Yes, I listened. I listened to parts of it. I did not make it through the whole thing because I have the attention span of a goldfish.
It's a great thing to move to.
What?
Pack your shit up to a JRE 3.5-hour episode.
Perhaps. The thing that really stuck with me was that, I mean, Rogan. I just don't think Rogan gives a shit anymore, man, about fighting. Like, I mean, dude, did you hear the spiel he went on about the judging and the rules and all of that? And it was like, bro, like the changing to the scoring criteria that you are asking for and describing is exactly what was instituted like 4 years ago, dude. Where the fuck have you been?
He is at the Howard Stern, the Mike Francesa, where it's kind of just,
if I had $100 million, if I had $100 million, you couldn't get me to show up to my fucking day job either. So I'm not going to hate it all that much. I get it, but you know what I mean? It's like, at this point I get it. Like Rogan is, you know, like I've had this conversation with friends before and they're like, oh, you know, like Rogan just kind of gives you that big pay-per-view feel. It doesn't feel like a big pay-per-view without Rogan. Like, you know, when they were doing some of them last year and he wasn't traveling and all that shit.
He's got a great voice too. It's just like,
he does. Absolutely. He does. But I just think I don't think he's very in tune with fighting anymore. I just don't think he really gives a shit. I think he has a million other things going on that are more important to him. Like I would rather see, I like Bisping. I really like Felder. I would love to see Felder get some more color opportunity, some more play-by-play opportunity. Like they have a good stable of guys that they can work in, man. Like, you know, guys who are up and coming and like guys who interest me at least, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know when the last time Rogan made a point on during the broadcast of a fight where I was like, you know what? That's really interesting. That makes me view something differently or think about this differently.
I think he was great for the sport for many reasons. He brought in the Fear Factor audience. He's a martial artist himself.
Right. Crossover appeal.
Often he would educate people on the broadcast. And Goldberg, the former hockey announcer, is like, yes, I agree. Like he was just there to just Joe's hype man in a sense. And then when Joe, the whole sport took a turn, the Conor McGregor 2016, to quote Errol Hawani, the greatest year in mixed martial arts history, which probably with the Diaz fights, UFC 200, the chaos, the money fights that was 2016, Rogan pulled out of the international cards, was just domestic, stopped doing the free fights on Fox with the ESPN deal. Everything changed with the Conor McGregor money fight year in 2016. So he's been doing it for 25 years since 97. If he wants to do something else, think about it. The show this weekend's in Singapore. How often is he doing pay-per-views? Maybe 9 times a year? Once every like a couple so often. Like we're going to see him July 2nd for UFC 276. I can't blame him that he doesn't understand the judging criteria. He is box office, as your friend says. When it's Rogan on the call, you know it's a big fight feel. So
right, and I totally get that. Sport. Right, I totally understand that. Like guys, you know,
and the biggest podcast in the world is Joe Rogan, like the UFC guy. I can't thank him enough.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, he's bigger than the promotion. You know what I mean? He doesn't fucking need. He could walk away from the UFC tomorrow and not miss a single thing. You know what I mean? He's got his money. He's got his shows. He can go tour and do comedy shows from now until the end of time. Anytime he needs a quick buck, like he doesn't need it. You know what I mean? And not that needing it is a prerequisite to you know being good at the job. But I don't know. I just think the effort is not there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you're so good that you start to do things.
You mail it in a little bit.
Yeah, like Harry Mack Coast. On a warm Friday on Long Island. He's getting out to the links. Are you a golfer?
Oh, of course. Not nearly as much as I would like to these days. But yeah, love me some golf.
I can count on two fingers how many times I've hit it under 100. What about you? Are you like that good?
When I was playing a lot, like before my hips and back got all fucked up, when I was playing a lot, I was hitting like, I was consistently right under 100, like mid high 90s. My best round ever was an 88, which I'm like thrilled with. I don't know if I'll ever top that, but
include the gimmies?
Yeah. You gotta count them. You gotta count the gimmies and the mulligans.
What do you call it? Do you do it club length? Like within the hole?
I'm not a hardo like that at all. What my view, like I get people get really fucking intense about golf and shit like that. That is not me, dude. Like when I'm out golfing, I'm there to just like enjoy a day outside with my pals and get a little drunk and get a little high and have some fun out on the golf course. You know what I mean? So I'm like, if I look at my bat pal and I'm like, is this a gimme? And he's like, yes, it's a gimme. If he says no, all right, I'll putt it, whatever.
Okay. We got to get out there, man. What, do you have a favorite course? Are you that like extensive of a golfer?
So I would say I probably have a favorite course just because I grew up playing Harbor Links in Port Washington there. Like me and my buddy used to play that shit like you know, once, twice a week because you could
very good then.
No, I'm not. That's a lie. But what we used to do is they have an executive course, like a nine hole course. It's mostly par threes, a couple par fours. And
I like the sound of that.
Dude, it's a great course. Like you get through the whole thing in like 2 hours if the course is moving, maybe less. And then what we would do is we'd go like after school or whatever. You could get the twilight rate at like starting at like 4:30 in the afternoon, and you play nine holes for like $18. Can't beat that deal.
Nine holes for me would be perfect. I literally lose focus around between 9 and 12. Yeah. I used to be the fun guy in the course with the drinking, and then I was like, I fucking hate losing every time. So I started drinking coffee. My brother's on like fucking, they're snorting Adderall. So they're just like, they're extreme.
Your classic laid back golfing experience.
Oh, I get so fucking intense. I'll never forget the May 4th, 2019 Cowboy versus Al Yaquinta main event headliner. I think it was Ottawa, somewhere in Canada. Dude, I was ready for the fight. At 1 p.m., I was ready for the fight. But at 1 p.m., nope, I was a little drinking, a little smoking on the golf course, hitting shit into the woods. I'm pulling off. The front of the club's going right. I'm going left. I'm getting very mad, very frustrated. My brother starts to give me advice. I said, hey, no more advice.
Listen here. He does it three times in a row. You shut the fuck up.
Basically, I should have said that. It got to the point where I held the club. I said, leave me the fuck alone. And he goes, don't you fucking break that over your knee. I go, I'm not. And yeah, he writes it up that I had deadline work the night before for an article. I said, dude, no, it's like, you don't understand. It's a fucking local guy. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I definitely, when I was younger, I was much worse with shit like that. Whereas these days I'm much more like, whatever, dude, I'll just fucking drop one. I'm just here. I think part of that is also like, after going through all the health stuff with my hips and my back and all that, like I physically couldn't play for like 2.5 years. So I think now I'm at the point where like, I'm still just like happy to be able to be out on the course. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just happy to be there. So what happens now is like, that whole thing shifted my perspective on a lot of things, but on golf specifically, it's like, I'm just happy to be there, man. You know,
it's a good way to look at it. It's a positive way to look at it.
Yeah, man, and, it's a lot easier to keep that perspective once you don't have the ability to do something you enjoy. You know what I mean?
100%, man. I had a very long summer last year, and I was like, very yeah, it was in the hospital during the, what was it, the 263 Diaz versus fucking Leon Edwards. I almost like,
oh man,
flipped the tray off. Yeah, so it's like those certain moments make you appreciate it, and I feel like everybody's appreciating it. The thing is Glover Teixeira, UFC 275 co-headliner, does he appreciate this opportunity against a young gun, a young samurai in Jiří Procházka? Can Glover get the fight to the ground, or is Jiří going to slice and dice with those shoveling uppercuts a la Chuck Liddell, just ready to take one to give two, and just lays it all out there? I think he has like 25 knockouts and 28 wins. He is an old school fighter. He's like one of those pride guys that we're getting a chance to see. This is the pinnacle for him. This is it. This is the peak.
And he's a guy who fought a lot of good talent outside the UFC also. You know what I mean? He's not one of these guys who came in with a 25-0 record beating up on fucking cans. Like
Muhammad Lawler was over there.
King Mo, Carl Albrechtson, Vadim Nemkov.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he had some tough fights over there.
He fought Nemkov, you said?
Yeah.
Awesome
fight. Definitely recommend watching that. That's I think that's free on YouTube, actually. That was in that Ryzen GP. And not to spoil the ending, but so you know, Japanese MMA, they do that 10-minute opening round. Incredible pace. Like both guys, insane scrambles, Jiří pressing the action and the striking. Nemkov was able to get him down a lot, but Jiří is very good at not accepting position when he gets put in a bad position on the ground or on his back, constantly scrambling, constantly moving, constantly looking for openings. And then, they got to the end of the 10th round and dude, Nemkov was so gassed, he couldn't get up off the stool. He retired on the stool between rounds. That was how that fight ended, which is crazy. Jiří just out cardioed him. But
I didn't know that he had that in him. Then Corey Anderson was definitely going to win that fight. I thought Nemkov had a chance to come back. I didn't know he had quit inside of him.
Yeah. I'm high on Nemkov too. I think he's very talented, but
the light heavyweight Tony Ferguson in Jiří Procházka against the old cowboy Glover Teixeira, 42 years old, man. File him under the Dan Henderson and the Randy Couture category for just 40 plus year old champions. Hendo was not a 40-year-old champion. Was not, right?
No, I think he was 40 when he challenged Bisping and lost.
Okay.
But I don't think he was 40. I don't think he was 40 when he held the title ever.
Okay. File it under successful 40-plus-year-old.
Yeah.
You got Manimal, you got Teixeira, you got...
Exactly. But, dude, it's such a fascinating stylistic matchup, right? Because, I mean, like you said, Jiří is such a... He's such a fascinating striker, man. The way he throws those like shovel hooks and shovel uppercuts, and he comes at you from weird angles, keeps his hands really, really low as he's fighting, which also makes him hittable. If you go back and you watch his UFC fights, you know, his UFC debut against Volkan Oezdemir, who, by the way, debuting against Volkan Oezdemir is like, okay, clearly we know this guy's no fucking joke, but you know, that fight was more competitive than I remembered it being. Obviously, you know, the finish is what sticks in your mind. Jiří fucking floored him in the second round. But in that first round, Jiří got touched a few times, man. He got touched a few times. And I don't think Glover has incredible power by any means. But like the way he fights with just, you know, his hands real low, a lot of frantic in and out motion. He likes to go first a lot. He leaves himself open to being hit. So like there is definitely a path to victory for Glover. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just take him down, right? Essentially, but can you get within that range?
Right. Well, so I think Glover might be able to take him down. Where I think Glover's going to have trouble is keeping him down. You know what I mean? So I think Glover might be able. I think Glover might be able to get it to the mat a couple times, but I don't think he's going to really be able to get off a ton of damage there. I think Jiří will be able to get back to his feet. But yeah, I mean that's really the big question. That's what this fight hinges on, right? Is will Glover be able to take the fight to the ground and keep it there?
And the UFC, they're like, they're serving this up for Jiří, like putting it in the Asian demographic. He kind of thinks he's Bushido, Shogun, walks around like the samurai-esque. I'm picking Glover in this fight, man. Lock up a double leg, drag him to the floor, and again, do one of those just classic either arm triangle or rear naked choke finishes for the Brazilian I don't know. Is Yuri just a tool bag who used to wear boat shoes and khakis and
that I don't think
tank tops, who's now like, if he wins, I just always say this, the truth comes out on the night of the fight. And if Yuri wins, no, he really is living the martial art lifestyle. He's not just kicking the tree and then banging a girl in a hot tub and doing coke off her tits like when nobody's looking. Like, he really is living the samurai lifestyle. But if he doesn't and he gets tapped out, it's like, dude, shave that shit, restart.
If you no more Musashi.
Why did he not have the hairdo? And I know he's going back and forth with it, but he did not have it in the UFC debut. My theory is that either it's Mick Maynard or Sean Shelby or Hunter Campbell, and they see him, they're like, dude, you're on the biggest fucking promotion, kid. Take this serious. Take that shit off your head. If he was super samurai, dude, you say, no, I don't lifting off my head. It is my style. Trust me, I will win the title in 3 fights. Trust me. But no,
Mr. Dana White's son.
He had no, he had the freaking ponytail, the horsetail on his head was gone in the debut against Volkan Ozdemir. So I'm saying
interesting.
His samurai lifestyle can be tested.
Interesting. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about the role that hairstyle played in fight psychology, but that's something to chew on.
Yeah, man. Whenever I see you, certain hairstyles, I'm like, oh, he's going to get the better of Ian. Or I say other styles, I'm like, oh, shit, Ian's teeing off on Harry. What are we doing here? retweet.
Yeah, exactly. I know a thing or two about having long, shitty hair, but yeah, man, I'm very excited for that fight. I mean, I think it's almost a no-brainer that if Yuri wins and if Joanna also wins, you have to do Yuri Jan in Poland. You have to. You have to do Yuri Jan in Poland with Joanna fighting for the title also against Carla also on that card. You have to go to Poland.
You're selling me, but I'm always a believer. You need, unless it's the Khabib situation, you need to get another win before a title fight.
For Joanna?
For Jan. For him.
The Rokic win is tough.
No, he did.
He beat. I mean, that it's tough because like that fight ended in an injury, but
that
like
just happened.
Right, but they called that a number one contender fight. You know what I mean? So, course, you never want to see a fight end in an injury like that, but that's how it went. He won the fight. I think he seems to be the heir apparent, although I saw something today that Dana said that Ankalaev and Lionheart is going to be a number one contender fight. So I don't know if that kind of means that Jan is next and then whoever wins that fight is after or what the deal is there, if they're not going to move forward with the Jan fight, but I wouldn't have a big problem with Jan getting that title shot. We've seen way worse, dumber shit.
the Smith Ankalaev fight, that is that official?
I believe so.
Sweet, sweet. Are we ever going to talk about Tyler Santos?
I guess we should. I think Santos is good. I like her. I think I saw she's the second Contender Series alumni to fight for a UFC title. I would have liked to see her get one more fight in before Valentina. I think she could have really benefited from another fight. I think they're rushing her along a little bit because the division, kind of like I said, is a little bit barren behind Valentina. It's kind of, you know, she's kind of separated from herself from the pack and lapped 125 at this point. But yeah, man, I don't know. It's an interesting fight. I think
she's
Shevchenko's
long.
Yeah,
she's definitely long.
Shevchenko's minus like she's like a 6-1 favorite or something insane. Six and a half to one or some shit like that. I'll probably
Chris Weidman. That's what I'm waiting for. Who's gonna be the Chris Weidman?
I'll probably talk myself into betting Santos at that price, but I don't know. It's hard to get excited about a Valentina Shevchenko fight, you know?
Yeah, she's in her Anderson Silva years. And I'm nasal right now, so I sounded like Chael Sonnen.
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
Zhang Weili or Weili Zhang. Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I got Joanna.
I can't wait.
In three rounds.
It's
was
a crime.
Joanna's last fight, was that against Zhang?
Yeah, it's been like 2 years, man.
Yeah, I like that. The fact that she's had time to just sit there and think about it.
I wish that was a five-rounder.
Shape, but...
I would have liked to see five rounds there. Like, you know what I mean? We've done like five round non-title fights. Like we did it for Nate and Leon. Like, you know, we've done it before. So like, why not at this point? It's an incredible fight.
It was the Diaz stipulation.
Right. It was the best fight in the history of women's MMA. Like why would I not want the extra two rounds of that?
100%. Maybe Joanna didn't want it.
I think it was probably a money thing. I think they probably both wanted more money for five rounds and the promotion said, nope.
I agree. So who do you got in this? I feel like you're a Zhang guy right now.
I've gone back and forth a bunch, man, but I do think I lean Wei Li at the end of the day. What it comes down to is
hometown.
Yeah, that's true. It's hometown S. She will probably be the fan favorite there, which is certainly a change of course from her last couple fights. But for me, I don't, you know, obviously there's debate on ring rust, whether that's real, whether that's fake, but it's hard for me to back a fighter coming off of a 2-year layoff against somebody who has continued to fight the top of her division and only got better and better and better since the last time they fought. You know what I mean? Like, so like Wei Li went to that Cejudo camp, put in that camp, super competitive fight with Rose, of course. Like I think that one could have went either way.
In
like,
MSG?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I thought Rose dominated with the wrestling.
Once really? She figured I mean, out that she didn't Wei do Li any damage. Wrestle. She didn't do any damage. I don't know. I thought that was a very, very close fight. And but that my main point at the end of the day is I think that's how you get better, is getting in there against elite fighters and figuring out what needs fixed and what can be adjusted and what can be changed, right? So I don't know. I think it's a really tough fight to pick. I think what Wei Li is sitting at like a slight favorite right now, like -140, something like that, yeah, I believe.
I could see that.
You know, I cannot fault anybody who picks Joanna, especially as a dog. That's obviously a good value play. I'm not going to fault that by any means, but I think personally I'm going to go with Wei Li.
All right. It's going to be a fun card. Well, I'm looking forward to the Andre Fiallo, Jake Matthews on the prelim card on ESPN, man. Andre Fiallo has become
Fiallo rules.
One of my favorites for this year.
Absolutely.
Just, what is he going? Is he going for a fourth fight? Trying to,
yeah, something like. I mean, he has been crazy active. Yeah, and I mean, and he was super active before that too. Like, I mean, he fought in Brave. He fought for XMMA. Like, he's been all over the fucking world. He's done the damn thing. I do think that's an interesting price to me because he's like a -160 favorite in that fight, and we haven't really seen him against a guy with Matthews grappling. So, you know, he's got crazy power in his hands. Obviously he's a great striker, great counter puncher, but I'm not sure if we've really seen him kind of dragged into deep waters against a good wrestler yet. I'm not sure that price is right on that fight.
And he seems like he stayed healthy. He doesn't seem like he's taking too much damage in those fights. So it's going to be an interesting fight. Some breaking news. Joker 2 is all but confirmed by Todd Phillips.
I saw that. I just saw that before we hopped on. I don't really know how I feel about that. I kind of like that as like a standalone.
Yeah.
It feels like they're trying to milk it a little bit. You know what I mean? And it feels like what we're inevitably going to get to is that Batman is just going to throw out that post-credit scene that they did with Riddler and Joker. And we're going to get Joaquin and Pattinson in a movie together. I think that's what they're going to do, which like, listen, would probably be good, but also is probably going to be just like a blatant money grab.
Wow. Yeah. I would love that. That if they were building towards that,
I think that's what we wind up seeing.
So we can't just do the Joker next with Joaquin. He's got to do is now his rise to fame. He's got to cause chaos, kind of be the kind of terrorist. And then Batman's got to do his thing. Is he going to do
it? Right. When are they going to meet? Batman was a child in the first movie, like a literal child. So he's I mean, you have to be like, you got to be at least like 10 years away from doing any, like, you know, in universe, whatever, from doing anything like meaningful with them.
He so did have gray hair in that asylum scene.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I don't know, man. I don't fucking know. But I do. I don't know. I kind of wish they just let that be. It's like, I mean, at the end of the day, there's too much money on the table. I fucking get it. It's just greed and money. That's what drives everything. But I would have liked to see that kind of just sit and chill as a good standalone movie. You know what I mean? Not everything needs to be the cinematic universe of dick and balls and fucking whatever. Like, shit can just be good on its own sometimes.
I agree. It, like, Zack Snyder didn't do 300. He like the second one, he left it like that, and they tried to bring it back. So many other people, they did Rise of the Empire, some like spinoff. But yeah, I like the one-offs to just let it be.
Exactly.
Anything else before we call it an episode?
I'm trying to think if there's anything glaring that we are missing, and I don't believe there is. We got a big summer coming up for the team. We mentioned it on our last episode.
UFC Long Island.
Yes, we didn't touch
Why
on that.
Why is Frivola not on that?
So I wish stupid. I could tell you, man. I wish so I could stupid. Tell you. They yeah. I
hasn't fought since UFC 270 in freaking January.
It's so fucking silly to me that he's not on that card. But, you know, apparently they reached out to Shelby. He was told the card is full. So he's just going to focus on cornering Billy Q for now, being a good teammate, being a good pal for his boy. And hopefully he can get one up. In soon. I agree. I absolutely agree. I, there's no excuse for not having him on that. I mean, is there a single Long Island guy on the card?
No, Billy Q's the closest.
Yeah, and he's from Buffalo. I love you, Billy, but you know you're not a Long Islander.
Yeah. I mean, could Steamroller be a co-main event?
Yeah. I mean, for a Long Island card, right, I don't opponent? See why not. Yeah. I don't see why not, but yeah, I mean, you know, it sucks that they weren't able to get him on that card. It sucks he wasn't able to get the
he's
Patty
staying
Kendall
ready.
Fight.
He thinks he there might be a fill-in spot.
That was what he and I were talking about. That yeah, you know, it seems like his best shot of getting a fight. You know, he wants to fight. He's ready. He wants to fight in, you know, June, July, whenever the fuck he can get it. So
he thinks Ortega stays on. Yair falls out.
That's 45 though. 45.
That's what I said to him. And I said, could you make a catchweight at 50? He goes, fuck no. I go, okay.
Maddie cuts a lot of weight, dude. He goes, a lot of weight.
Ortega would like it at 155. And I thought for a second, if you remember UFC 223, Ortega was ready to step in against Khabib. He was
right.
in the city.
That's right.
It was dangled there. And that is at 55. He's a big boy at 145, about 5'10". I mean, that would be... Imagine Frivola
awesome.
As the main event. Then
we know Frivola loves to save the day, but you know, my thing, I've
How
told
they not tickets wise too. Just
that's
to
what
get...
I'm saying. But I've told Matt, man, like you, at the end of the day, you can't do a promoter a favor. You know what I mean? Because they will not reciprocate. They won't, dude. I mean, he saved two shows for them in the last couple of years. He fucking fought Armin Sarukin on 24 hours notice on the main card of a fucking McGregor card. Like, what, the guy has been nothing but the good soldier for the promotion, and they just turn around and treat him like shit, which doesn't sit well with me. But
dude, he, like, it doesn't travel. It's in his build. There's so many reasons why it's just.
It makes all the sense in the world. It makes
it's
all
a brand
the
new sense arena.
In his backyard. Like, come on, man. Come on. Silly.
Look
fucking
at the UFC on Long Island, July 2017. You had Dennis Bermudez, John Volante, Ryan LaFlair, obviously Chris Weidman. I'm trying to remember, but that's at least four or five people that they...
I think, was Aljo on that card too?
I don't think so.
What? I thought that might have been the Barao fight for some reason, but I definitely could be wrong.
Weidman, Gastelum. What do we get?
Either way,
Jimmy
though.
Rivera was there. That's a Jersey guy.
Right. Either way, yeah, it's silly to throw
Chris
a card.
Wade, Shane Burgos,
there
Ryan
you go.
Kelleher versus Marlon Vera.
They brought out all the Long Island guys, man. That's what you got to do.
Good. Oh my gosh.
That's how you do a card on Long Island. Like, dude, I think we care in the tri-state area in the Northeast. We care more about fighting than basically anywhere in the world that isn't Las Vegas and Thailand. So how the fuck are you going to come to our backyard and not give us any of the hometown boys?
It's one of the last states to legalize too. It might be the last. I think they're just waiting on one of the Northeast states.
Yeah, that sounds right. I was going to say, for some reason, I thought there was somewhere in the Pacific Northwest that it might still be banned, but fuck that I know.
Not a good job.
It's just silly, man. It's just silly, but what are you going to do? We can't control these decisions, clearly.
Well, what we can control is when I put my baby to sleep. so Harry, you're the man. I love you. Till next week, my brother. And we will probably be catching up before then for some packing.
Yes, like Ike has very generously offered to help me move, which is an insane move on his behalf. But I very much appreciate it.
It's an exercise.
I very much appreciate it, brother. For
as long as you're not like, ah, like screaming at your girlfriend. And I'm just like the weird kid.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Oh. I'm gonna stand there and just bark orders the whole day. I'm like, more of a field general type of mover.
Like, oh man, not the whip.
No, but yes, a pleasure as always, brother. Good, great stuff as always. And yes, I'm looking forward to the future, looking forward to everything we got coming down the pipe. It's gonna be a big couple of months. I'm excited.
Sounds good. Peace.